We're going to get right to it because we have 25 minutes to cover 300 years worth of history. So would you introduce yourself, please?
I am Dan Reynolds, and I sing for Imagine Dragons.
So let's see. You either started in 2006 or 2007, depending on which bio you read. We know there were three EPs prior to this. We know that there's Brigham Young University involved before Vegas. So what I'm really interested in, what it never really says, is where everybody was originally from.
Well, Daniel Platzman, the drummer, is from Atlanta originally. And so he went to Berkeley, where he met Wayne, who's originally from Utah. And then also Ben McKee went to Berkeley with them, and he is from Forestville, California.
The famous Forestville, California. You're the only one...
From Las Vegas, yes.
How do you get these jazz bows to do rock and roll?
You would think it's difficult. They were a fusion jazz band before they were in this band together. You know, but they came from rock and roll backgrounds. They listened to rock music their entire lives. And, you know, they say if you can learn to play jazz, then you can pretty much learn to play any genre.
I caught that other Vegas band that's become big, that's also on a big label, those Killers guys, on literally their, right after they came from the UK, and they still, in America, it was just kind of hitting. And there's a lot of decisions to be made about labels. But an interesting choice after doing three independent EPs, a deal with the devil, but did you make the deal with the devil in a way that you feel like your soul is still intact? He said being polite.
It's a great question, and I think for every band it's different. I think there's some artists right now that are doing independent things and they're doing them great. For us, it didn't make sense for us to sign earlier on. We had offers from labels that we turned down throughout the years, because we wanted to stay independent, and because it was above all most important to us to keep our artistic integrity. But when we ended up finding a producer, Alex DeKid, who was a genuine fan of the band, didn't want to change anything about the band and just kind of wanted to step in and help us. It was a first for him, and it was a first for us. He had never worked with a rock band, but he was just a fan of the band and wanted to help us acquire the resources to be able to do it on a bigger level. And we had already kind of built this organic fan base in the 3 years that was essential. You know, I talk with bands all the time who say, you know, well, what's the goal? Is the goal to sign with a label? And I say, no, the goal is to build something on your own, because no label just magically steps in, can wave a wand, and then you're some huge rock band. You have to, those fans that you build, you know, that were there from the beginning are the lifeblood of our band.
Even the best label can't save a crummy band.
Many bands sign and go nowhere. You know, they just get shelved.
That's right. And you see, look at that. Number 4 right there, I wrote the word interesting producer. I think that it's really smart to go out of your comfort zone when you already knew who you were. And you did. By the time you got to him, you knew who you were. You knew what your purpose was. And then you said, let's mess with it and let's have somebody who's really going to integrate.
I think that what was most important from the beginning is Alex said, look, I don't want to change what you guys are doing. I'm a fan of the band. I just want to kind of bring my experience to the table, see if it's worthwhile to you. He has this way of being hands-off, but being hands-on in the correct ways, where he would be like, you know, this snare is great, but you know what? It could be a little more powerful if we add a little EQ to it and put a little distortion on it and kind of brought this edge, especially sonically, to our music. That brought it, I think, to a point where it was really fresh to our ears. And it was exciting for us. It was exciting for him.
And what's really interesting is how to make it big, you know, because, and I'm going to circle right into it. It's time. It's an anthem, but it's an anthem that hasn't become arena rock. It's an anthem that works on all of these formats, and the demographic, to get technical, is so wide. So you've managed to make a big record. In all ways, whether it's sales or sound, but what do you think happened? What was the secret sauce in the studio that still kept it pure, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, I think that above all, the most important thing to us is to create something that is honest, that comes from a very real place for us as musicians. You know, it started. At one of the lowest points of my life. It was really... Yeah, I really do. I think that album... You have to create an album as a band at some point. We just put it off for years because we wanted to make sure we fully understood who we were. But in creating Night Visions, we really got to a point where we said, you know what? This album is a real statement that you could listen to from the beginning to the end. We hoped people would, and walk away saying, I understand what they're trying to say. We wanted it to kind of encompass and run the gamut of human emotion. Some songs are darker, some songs are, there's brighter moments. But at the end, we wanted it to be an album that people listen to from front to back.
I believe I read there were 100 demos to get to the first record. And you're already, and the interesting thing about life is I know that this has been out a while. How many demos are already, or how many songs are in your head for this new one that you're already thinking about?
Man, there's already, there's a ton. Only because I think that, I'm definitely a habitual writer. I write almost every day, just because it's therapeutic for me. It's always been my escape. And so I'm not really writing for a purpose as much as I'm just writing for myself. And then that's what we did before. And then we end up with, over 100 demos that we comb through and put it together in a way that hopefully tells a story.
Speaking of kids, and I'm going to do this a very interesting way. I'm going to get both sides of the story because it's 7 o'clock. I'm talking to your other half. 8 months old, 9 months old now. And that must be an interesting, can you tell anything about this child seeing in its eyes what it's seeing already?
She already has so much personality, honestly. I think, when you're raised around it, who knows? Maybe she just thinks that's normal life. Because she stands at the side of the stage and watches, and she'll look out and see 10,000 people. And, I'll be interested in seeing kind of what she has to say about it when she starts to talk more. But her personality is already very, very, very real.
So you get asked this a lot, but I want to kind of try to twist it in a fun way, and then we're going to do the last thing that we do that's going to fill the rest of the hour. My gosh, you're doing Lollapalooza, you're doing Isle of Wight, you're going to be festival, 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 festival. Now, is this the first summer that it's all the really big ones?
This is. We have played a lot of festivals before, but this is when it started to step up, where we have good slots at all the big festivals. And these are festivals I grew up, watching online. Hearing about, just legendary to play. I can't tell you how excited we are. Yeah, we've been very fortunate. We've been incredibly fortunate, and what we tell each other every day is to not take a thing for granted. The 4 years we've been at this, to be already being able to play these wonderful festivals, we're just trying to take every single day in.
So when you talk about with the band and you're on the bus and you're hanging out and you're talking to your wife and, and she's doing her thing and building her thing, what do you talk about? Do you just talk about that you want to do this forever, or that, it would be great to do this and ride this for 5 years and then just go to an island and sit there and...
I think that both of us are, if we're not creating, we feel dead. Both of us are just, from a young age, we're always creating. So I think we talk a lot about different ideas we have and aspirations and dreams. But right now, both of us are just so focused on, Imagine Dragons and Nico Vega as entities and building them. We believe very strongly in what we're doing. We think that it has deeper meaning for us than just creating music. We hope to be able to create change, as any artist does.
So what I've done with 400 bands over the past 7 or 8 years is I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. So what it is it's two of your songs as the bread, and then a bunch of songs just off the cuff in between, and I play 40 minutes of solid music.